Thank you guys for amazing worship, and thank you Don for the prayer. It's just online of what I'm going to say a little bit. Right, before we preach, because that is the announcement, but Don catch it up in the prayer, which is a great thing. But let me confirm something before we start. Two precious prayers. Paul prayed them for the church. He didn't pray them for anybody else. He prayed them for the church. One in Ephesians, one in Galatians. 3:19, 4:19. Easy to remember. First one is, he was talking about, he is praying for the church to have the fullness of God. And on the other one, he is praying that the church formed in Christ Jesus, to have his image, to have him. Two precious prayers. Amazing prayers. For the church, is not for non-believers, for believers, for people knowing who Christ is. But it was two precious prayers. And those precious prayers, the Lord put them in my heart to share something really important. When we are going through this book of Isaiah, we are talking about who God is to us. Yes? You remember? Yeah? Talk about his holiness. We talk about his just. We talk about his strong, big, mighty. We talk about a few bits over the last, since May until now. Here is the choice. Yeah.
Because Cain is in the Bible.
Thank you, Margaret. It's true. Well done. Thank you. But here is the point. The point is, I can just acknowledge the idea of he's just, he's a strong, mighty, his power is amazing, full stop. God knowledge. Or, I live the fullness of God in his character. Meaning, I will experience God, the mighty, strong, powerful, in my everyday lifestyle. It's not just a knowledge. I'm facing something at work. He is bigger than that one. He is big God. This is what we said last two weeks ago. He's just. Not against the people I don't like, but he's just for me too. He is putting a line between the holiness and the unholy stuff I am always doing, my even inside here. What is my choices? What I am taking those character of God toward what? Paul said, this is my full prayer for you, Ephesians, that I need the fullness of God to be for you. Therefore, when I experience this, I experience really the fullness of who he is in me. Otherwise, there is no point of talking about who he is. If it's just a knowledge of a good idea, there is no meaning. But I am talking about a different approach, different a step here in our life. It's how I take this further in my life. You know how that will work, guys? Start from your bedroom. Your time with him. The quiet one nobody knows about. Walk with him. You are strong and mighty in me. That will come out. You are holy and just in me. It will come out. But work your journey and your steps with him alone before you face it outside. Take that in your quiet place. Recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Recognize his character in your life before you take it out. You have to do the job inside first. And this is my prayer for all of us, including me, that the fullness of God will fill me. That I become Christ-like wherever I go. Because there is no point of talking about who he is if we are not taking it furthermore. Right? To be Christ-like. To be filled not just by the Spirit. You have the whole entire fullness of God in you. I don't know that how it looks like. I don't have a recipe for it. But all what I know is get hold of him in your quiet place. This is the only way to reflect who he is to others. Full stop. No other way. Walk the journey with him in order to reflect who he is. That makes sense? All right. That is my announcement. Right, can we put the first verse, please? Isaiah prophesied that one. When you read the sentence, how did you feel about it? Says your God, let's do it backwards a little bit. Who said? Yeah, talk to me. God said, and as he didn't say, God said, says your God, the one you know. And he said something very interesting. Comfort, comfort the people. My people. Therefore, it's very specific, very clear who he's talking to. And we are talking about comfort people, meaning I can use it as a word if I'm talking, getting my Arabic mindset on that one. You use this word of comfort when you are going to go to someone who has somebody died and you are delivering your condolence to them and being lovely and whatever. That is the first thing jump in my head. Which is fine. But there is a difference between I offer my condolence and I send a text message, or I will just go and say to someone and put my hand over his shoulder. There is a big difference. I can write a lovely card and send my condolence for what happened to you, or I can go and really offer my comfort to this person. When God spoke, he spoke clearly about this. Comfort, comfort is a calling. God is shouting to his people that this is my source, this is me. I can come with that. And what is it? Hey, guys, your sin is forgiven. Hey, guys, there is no longer condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hey, guys, I won't walk with you. Hey, guys, I won't support you. I won't guide you. Does that sound familiar? Isaiah say it many, many, many years before Christ, and it happened in Christ, that your sin forgiven in Christ Jesus, you are new creation in him. Therefore, he come to you and said, this is what I'm doing. I won't be the comfort. I can't be this. But Jesus came and said something even better, but it happened quite quicker than what Isaiah did. I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. It didn't stay for years. No, straight away. He prophesied and it's done. And the good news is, guys, it's still remaining until today. He didn't leave. Are you aware of that? The Holy Spirit didn't leave. If you decide to leave him, it's your choice. That's a different story. But when Jesus said, it's better for me to go and I will send my Spirit to comfort, to lead, to give you rest, to give you peace, to have joy with you and deliver joy to you and peace and so on and so on. This is the prophecy Isaiah said and happened twice. In Christ, to die on the cross for you and rose again to give you life. And it happened again by having the Holy Spirit here. Isaiah say it as a prophecy, happened in Jesus. Jesus say it again, happened in the Holy Spirit in us. Make sense? Therefore, your prayer that I need the fullness of God every day in me, because this is what the Holy Spirit will do. Okay? Makes sense, yes? Right, let's jump to verse 3. What do you think about this verse? Yes. Fantastic. I like that. Is that true? Yes? What that do is mean now? It happened. John the Baptist came. Happened. Is it? What that do is mean? I'll tell you a surprise verse. I came across it a few days ago. No, a few months ago. It's not in this. Oh, no, it is in this paper. Here we go. Put that in your Bible. Matthew 24, 37. I said, oh, what is the relevance of that one? Yeah, it is. Listen to this. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh. The days of Noah, but God is not going to flood it again. But I said it will look, what we are living in, it will be looks pretty much similar to what the time of Noah was. People drifting away from God. Therefore, who are you now? The voice. This is who you are now. That can apply to you. You are the John the Baptist of these days. Prepare a way for the Lord, for the second coming. Make sense? Prepare a way. This is your job. But, very interestingly, it's exactly what happened to John the Baptist. When he was in Elizabeth's womb, get fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. That's why he was able to do what he does. In the day of the Pentecost, you have been fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you can do what you are called to do. 1 + 1 = Yeah, doesn't equal 100. It's very clear. Yeah, he filled by the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth's womb. The Holy Spirit activate him to become John the Baptist. You filled by the Holy Spirit on the day of the Pentecost church, the church filled up. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will activate you to become who you are for the second coming of Christ. Hello. Is anybody there? We don't talk about this much, but reality speaking, yes, he's coming back again.
Amen.
Thank you very much. We don't talk about holiness and prepare and clear the way and take all the cricket ways and the rough road, level it up, prepare for the Holy Spirit. Sorry, for the second coming of Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit. What are we doing? Ahmed, what are you really doing in your workplace? Rubbish. Though I'm living holiness, not sure about that one. I'm the most sinner ever. Is my life reflect Christ? I'm not really sure. Is people coming? Is your first topic to talk to people about Jesus, or let's just have a little bit of gossip to sound much better? What we're doing? The prophecy is still remaining because the Holy Spirit is here. But you are the voice. Let's jump to 28. Another one for you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And talking about who God is. But the last bit, his understanding, there is no end of it. There is no deep end of it, you cannot really imagine it. How do you see this verse in your life? When you're stuck in something, you use it as an excuse. God knows. I'm not really sure. Attitude. Or there is a trust and hope attitude. Trusting his amazing understanding and amazing who he is. Which way we calculate this verse? A good excuse that I don't really know, just it is God, or I don't really know, but I am trusting him, have the hope in him, knowing that his ways is way bigger than mine, and I have full understanding and trust in him. Which way I'm going? Is my attitude reflect unknown, I don't really know, or reflect hope and trust? Where I'm going with this?
He is God and
I'm great. Therefore, I trusting him. He is the creator. He's everlasting. He is. Good amount of who God is. This is as we said in the morning, in early. But do I represent that with hope and trust and making sure that he will do it? Or I don't really know. It's just a knowledge. When I'm facing work and a colleague at work, and I am eager enough to say, I will pray for you. Yeah, I will do that. But how much trust that the Lord will move? There's another step. Ahmed, come on, stop it. I just told him I will pray for you. It's good enough. Is it? or what I'm trusting him, it will reflect on what I am saying, that I'll pray for you that God will move. He will move. Isaiah started with a very interesting, do you not know? He's just surprised. Do you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. How much I'm recognizing that in my heart. How powerful he is. How I see him in a daily, in my daily life, how I see him, how I apply what I know about him, how I can do this. The most encouraging verse. Go for the last one, please, 30. When I read this verse, not 49. No, the one before that one. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. 31. When I look to this verse, I remember a good friend of mine called Dawn. She always say this verse. She always prayed that verse in so many worship times. But how far we trust him. I'll tell you something. I get a challenge within a daily basis. Said, oh, I am getting old. I cannot bend. I cannot do this. It's everything is aching. And I'm tired. And I'm not coping. And God, come on. Where are you on that one? Yes? I'm the only one, yes? But do you really trust him in that one? In all the aspects of it. In your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, in your body. I go every night, sometimes I tell Jenny, can you just apply some Vortrol on my back because I am really aching. Which is nothing wrong with that. But how we wake up following day and said, okay, I trust that you strengthen me in that way. I feel like I am not switched on in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul. I'm just like feeling, how much I know that I will rise like an eagle. You know where it happened? Start from your bedroom again. Spend time with him. This chapter is the fifth gospel of the New Testament. Jesus came, died on the cross, sent the Holy Spirit to refresh and renew and comfort us. Is that the gospel? This is the gospel for us this morning. That he came, your sin is forgiven, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I send the Holy Spirit to comfort you, guide you, lead you, renew you, refresh you, to make you like an eagle. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Just want to encourage you to close your eyes and wait before Him. This is the invitation. Who wait in the Lord will rise like an eagle. He wait in the Lord. He is new creation in Christ. Who wait in the Lord, they will never go weary. Who wait in the Lord, He will take care of your spirit, mind, soul, body, everything. But learn to wait in your quiet place. Learn to wait in the place where you and Him alone. Because when you rise out, you rise like an eagle out there. Wait on the Lord. Wait to take the fullness of God. Wait to be Christ-like. Wait to be in the image of Christ that it was from the beginning. Wait, because you will have the characteristic of an eagle. Wait, because He won't walk with you. He won't comfort you. He won't support you. He won't supervise your life. He won't be the guide. He won't be there for you. Just wait. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you sent your Spirit to be in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are able to talk, to lead, to share the Father heart to us and with us. That you are in us to glorify Jesus. That you are in us to glorify the Father. Help us to glorify Jesus and the Father because you are in us. Holy Spirit, help us to wait, to learn, to know, to be who we are in you and in Christ. Help us to wait. Help us to learn to wait. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.